Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. He was on the sideline for the Titans and the Falcons on Friday. We'll get his thoughts, his takeaways from preseason game number two. Taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Tennessee Volunteers have named a starting quarterback.
We will get into
that later this hour as well. Not a huge surprise, but they have named a starting quarterback. We'll get into what that means for Tennessee. Plus, a situation in the NFL to monitor via trade that we will get into later in the program as well. But taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime, let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? I guess who's your sidekick today, Connor?
Connor's in here.
Talk to him. Yeah, what's up, Connor?
What's going on?
How y'all doing? Hey, Robbie, let me help you out for just a minute.
All right.
I heard you talking about the Titans, especially the special teams. I mean, Sheffield had a crucial fumble the other night on the return.
Yep.
I know you remember that. Defensively, they got gashed with Carter for the Falcons. He ran straight up the middle, 40-yard run. That's not good. I heard y'all talking about the defensive front and the linebackers. They're pretty good at that. But, right, that secondary is going to have to be revamped and redone. You're going to have to go on the waiver wire and maybe find you some more DBs to come in there and help you all out. You can't count on Snead right now, because even if he comes back, Robbie, is he going to be in game shape, football shape? Football shape and being in shape is two different things.
Is he going
to be in football shape, you know, football shape to be able to come out there and do what he needs to do? I don't think you can count on that right now. But, you know, Helm had a good game. Cam didn't have a great game. Brandon Allen was okay. Jefferson had a touchdown run down there in the red zone. So, This team still is a long way away from getting to where they get to. But, Robbie, I know where you're getting ready to go with that quote you came up with, or that trade thing. Go get Trey Henderson up there at Cincinnati. Pay the man, and there's your defensive end. They need a true pass rusher. I mean, you're going to have to do something, man. I mean, they are really hurting with the pass rush, and I just, you know, I don't really know what else to say. It's just a lot of flaws with that team. The punting game is not good. But, hey, man, you and Connor have a good day.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, the Trey Henderson part of this is interesting. You know, we've talked about him. I don't know if the Titans make a whole lot of sense just in terms of where he's at. He's 30. He'll be 31 coming up in December.
You'd have to give up too much to get him.
You'd have to give up a lot. Now, look, if it's reached the point with Cincinnati where it's just untenable, and, you know, obviously they're at a contract impasse and they're listing on trade offers, that does not do – I mean, that's not good for Cincinnati and their leverage, right? Like, you're not maximizing the trade value that you could get back for Trey Henderson. But I also feel like Trey Henderson is the type of move somebody makes and gives up assets for – if they feel like he's like the difference, right? Like they're right on the doorstep of winning. Mm-hmm. And look, Trey Hendrickson's a great player. Trey Hendrickson would help the Titans. Trey Hendrickson is not the difference between the Titans being, you know, one of the bottom feeders in the league and being a Super Bowl contender. He's not. I mean, the roster needs a lot of work. So that's a long way of me saying I don't think the Titans are going to involve themselves in the Trey Hendrickson discussion. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, specifically of what that could look like. But, you know, the other parts that Mark was talking about there when it comes to the secondary, like I'm pretty concerned about the secondary. And, you know, look, I get it, the waiver wire, they've got the number one spot there. But I think we probably make a little bit too much of the waiver wire around here sometimes. Like, what are you getting in the waiver wire? You're about to have roster cutdown day come up. And I'm not saying you can't find anyone.
No, but this isn't fantasy football. No one's cutting Bijan Robinson
right.
on a
like
weekly
it's,
basis.
You know, there you can find examples of players getting cut from other teams and then coming somewhere else and it works out.
Yeah.
But the majority of them, they get cut from other teams and they come here and they come to a different spot and they're just not good, right? Like That's the other thing you have to keep in mind. Like, if you're picking somebody up off the waivers, it's to put them on your 53. And how many guys that are getting cut here in the next week are going to be good enough to play on your 53?
Yeah, because they're not good enough to play on someone else's 53. I mean, maybe it's a different player than what you have. Like, if the Chiefs cut someone that doesn't make their 53, chances are they may be a little bit better positional value for you. But you're right. It's not – this isn't fantasy football. This isn't someone cutting a, you know, third wide receiver on a weekly basis just because they don't have enough room on their roster for him. It's not how the NFL works.
Well, and again, like, you can find examples of guys that were cut and then show up somewhere else and play well. So I'm not saying it's not a worthwhile venture if you're the Titans to keep your eye on that. And look, I'm sure they will. I'm sure the Titans are going to make some,
and they should
make a claim or two next week and bring somebody in. I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen. I don't know that I'd get my hopes up that whoever they're going to bring in at cornerback off the waiver wire is going to make a huge difference for them, right? Yeah. Like, it's hard to do that at this point. And look, I agree with what Mark said about Snead. Like, let's say he's ready to go week one. He hadn't played football in almost a calendar year. Like, is he just going to be able to go out there and just go? Like, he hadn't practiced, he hadn't done anything. Yeah. He's just automatically back in the game, and then he's just going and he's an elite corner again. I find that hard to believe.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, I feel like we're a long ways away from seeing L'Jarius Sneed back on the field. Like you said, hasn't practiced. We have no idea what his legal situation is right now or his health situation by that. I think he's a ways away from being back on the field for the Titans.
So Blake Bedingfield had a really interesting breakdown at paulkuharski.com on Cam Ward and the offense's day the other day. And for those who either don't know or have missed it, Blake Bedingfield, the former NFL college scouting director for the Titans. So, you know, when he puts something out, that's somebody that I pay attention to and their evaluation things. And it's interesting, if you want to go read it, like he breaks down every single pass attempt that Cam Ward had, and it's pretty interesting to watch him kind of go through that. A couple of lines that I want to read, and again, you can go check out the whole thing at paulkuharski.com. He says, Cam Ward's final game stats were not impressive, but he played much better than the stat line. And he goes through all the stats. And at the end of it, he says, you know, Ward flashes all the throws. He's got arm strength, movement ability in the pocket, but he must get consistent with his technique and footwork when he's in the pocket. His footwork varies throw to throw, and it forces him to spray the ball. That doesn't mean he must be a robot, but he needs to find the comfort level with proper technique when he's clean in the pocket and not rushed. When Ward is scrambling and on the move, he does a good job of placing the ball accurately. There's a lot of talk lately about Ward's footwork. And we saw, you know, Dan Orlovsky break it down after week one against Tampa Bay in the preseason and how his footwork, as Blake says in this, varies from play to play and is not consistent. And if you don't have that in the NFL, you can get yourself into trouble. So I guess one of the more underrated things to watch with Ward moving forward is how much progress can he make on maintaining some level of consistency with his footwork and improving that as it goes on here. Because that, you know, if you don't get that fixed, that's going to lead to some mistakes. And if you can get it honed in and continue to work on it, then I think you mitigate some of that with how, you know, inconsistent you are with your delivery at that point.
He's got to find a happy medium, I think. Like, don't be a Kirk Cousins statue and just stand in the pocket and don't move. Because kind of the thing that coming out of college Cam Ward was praised for was his mobility around the pocket. Not that he's a dual threat quarterback like a Lamar Jackson that can get outside and just gain, you know, 40 yards on a rush. I don't think he's that level of a dual threat, but he's mobile. He can move around the pocket and dodge guys coming at him and stuff like that. But yeah, he's got to find a happy medium to where, you know, his footwork looks natural and he's moving the right way, but he's not also just standing still and letting the defense come to him. He's got to find a way to navigate around the pocket fluidly.
Kyle in Shelbyville on the YouTube chat says, Trey Hendrickson would help make this team actually watchable this season. Going from unwatchable to watchable is a pretty serious jump. I mean, I would argue Cam Ward makes the team watchable. That's basically what I care about with the Titans. Look, again, I'm not saying Trey Hendrickson couldn't help. But Trey Hendrickson is 30 years old. He'll be 31 in December. You'd have to trade, give up assets to go get him, and then sign him to a contract extension. Yeah. So that's a lot of things that have to happen for a guy that is either right in the middle of his prime or is coming out of his prime on a team that is not a playoff contender and it's not a Super Bowl contender.
It doesn't make sense for either.
To me, it makes absolutely zero sense to entertain the idea of trading for Trey Hendrickson. That's just me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think it makes – if he's going to get traded, I think he gets traded to a contender because it makes sense for both windows. He's either in or coming out of his prime right now, and, you know, a contender would give up more valuable assets to go get him because they want to win. They're in the win-now window. So I think as far as a team like the Titans, it makes zero sense for him.
Well, and again, the watchability part of it – I mean, the watchability is largely this year for this team coming down to the quarterback, right?
Like, yeah.
We are going to watch this team because we are interested in what the quarterback looks like. And does he show signs along the way of being one of those guys? And if he does, how consistently does he show signs of being one of those guys? And how much better does he get from start to season's end of being consistent, delivering the football, and playing good football? And how much does the coaching factor into that? Like, there's so much with the quarterback to me that just naturally creates interest with this team, even if you know heading into it, looking at the rest of the roster, that it's not a roster that's set up to win right now. Like, I get it. There are going to be some rough Sundays this year, but you're hoping that the quarterback and the payoff at the end of it is you feel like you're in a pretty good spot at the end of the year of the most important building block of your franchise. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, that's my watchability. That, and I'm a Titans fan, so I'm going to watch every game anyway. But, yeah, that's the key thing I'm looking forward to this season is how does Cam Ward look and how does he develop alongside his young wide receivers? I don't think Trey Hendrickson makes this team a playoff contender. I don't. Because, yes, you're adding someone to hit the quarterback, but look what's behind him.
It'd help. But
That secondary is not good. Your cornerback room is not good. We just talked about inside linebacker. We think they're more than what they are on paper, but still, compared to other teams in the NFL, that's not a good inside linebacker room. So I don't think Trey Hendrickson makes this team a 9-10 win team simply by himself. I think there's so many other moving parts that you have to look for, and the Titans just don't have those moving parts. They don't have the depth in the right places right now to be a playoff team.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. A couple of trends I see that's really concerning. One is, and it may not be, but if we keep playing the way we're playing right now, I don't think Callahan will be here next year. And number two, if we keep playing the way we are right now, we're going to have a number one draft pick again. And if we do, do we take a quarterback?
It's a good question, Tim. Thank you for the call. Oh, look, the Callahan front, Callahan's got a lot to prove this year. And look, I know we've talked, so much about the idea of continuity, and Cam Ward basically stood on the table for that last week, right? He was like, we hadn't had stability around here in a long time. But, at some point, in order to maintain stability, your coach has to show you something. And I'm not freaking out yet. It's the preseason. But pretty early into the year, I want to see something from Callahan. I want to see something, from a play-calling standpoint, but just from a head coaching standpoint, that he's an elevator. Like, can you make things better? Or are you just totally reliant on everything around you, right?
Like, yeah.
I think last year, it's pretty clear this coaching staff was too inexperienced, right? Like, you had a first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, first-time defensive coordinator, and it was a disaster. How much better are those guys going to be this year? How much did they learn from year one to year two? As far as the second part of Tim's call there, I think it would have to be absolutely just horrendous from Cam Ward, and I mean like all-time bad from Cam Ward as a first overall pick for them to entertain the idea of drafting a quarterback.
We can't go all season talking about
that.
No.
I mean,
I get it. The callers, I get it, but we got to We can't go all season talking about, oh, if the Titans have the first overall pick, are they going to take quarterback? Let's let it play out.
Yeah.
Let it go, and we'll see.
I totally agree. I'm just saying, like, I think Cam Ward would have to, like,
it would have
be
to
historically bad.
Well, even then, they won't do that.
What these fans do is they say, well, if Cam Ward's bad, we'll draft a quarterback. You know who that quarterback is? Arch Manning.
Who's not coming out?
Who I do not believe is coming out of the draft this year.
I mean, honestly, if you're the Titans, you got to hope you have the first overall pick so you can trade out and just keep that rebuild going.
Yep.
Like, honestly, like, you know, you want a top three pick at this point. Trade out. You have your quarterback. Who knows what you could get for that?
A lot of your Titans thoughts to get to next. We will do that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game.
Well, I think we accomplished just a lot of connectivity throughout all three phases, special teams, offense, and defense. Guys hanging around together. And I think the biggest thing is that we found that, you know, we can overcome adversity, like tonight, even our previous games. But also just think it's going to also come down to, you know, us having the little details to win games when the season starts.
That's Cam Ward after the game on Friday. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number. Jacob on the YouTube chat says, man, I was hoping people were going to be a little bit more positive since the team won on Friday, but we already got callers calling in about picking number one and drafting a quarterback after preseason game number two. That's where we're at right now with Titans fans.
Tighten up.
Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Wes in Clarksville says, I wish this season could be like Madden football, that we could just sim through it because I don't want to watch it and be disappointed.
To me,
it's all about managing expectations, right? Like, don't we all kind of know that the Titans aren't going to be very good this year?
I got a simulation story for you.
Do you?
Last night I was playing NCAA. I made it all the way to the national championship with North Carolina, and then I accidentally simmed it and lost.
That's a tough one.
I was pissed.
That's a tough one. Belichick your coach?
No, Connor Newt is my coach.
Connor Newt. There you go. Good stuff. Fired Belichick for Connor Newt.
I think he left for the NFL, actually.
No, okay. That's good. It's good. Good. Maybe the only NFL opportunity he gets. Yeah. It's in fantasy land up there. Yeah, I mean, look, to me, it's about expectations. Like, the expectations have been set this year.
Yeah.
And the organization has basically told you. Now, that, you know, Brian Callahan's not come out and said it. I don't expect him to. Cam Ward and the Titans players, I don't expect them to say it. Or to even buy into it. But, like, you know, Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker have said basically that patience is going to be required, and they've got a long way to go. And I think we know that looking at this roster. So, like, to me, knowing that heading into it, like, it affects my watchability a little bit differently. Is that exciting to me? No. But when you're talking about the number one overall pick at quarterback, like, I'm sorry, that's very intriguing to me. Like,
yeah,
figuring that out is such a franchise changer for this team. And look, I get it. You know, they had a number two overall pick before and it didn't work. And what was Vince, three? Like, they had a number three overall pick, it didn't work. Jake Locker's the top 10 pick. I get it. They've had these opportunities before, and it's, you know, they've completely fallen on their face for the most part. I mean, you know, Marcus didn't get to a second contract. Vince won Rookie of the Year and then flamed out and was throwing his shoulder pads in stands. Jake Locker, I don't know, ever completed a forward pass. Like,
my first jersey.
Yeah, like, it, I get it. They've had similar situations before. At some point, they got a hit, right? Like, at some point, they've got a hit. And, you know, whether or not Cam Ward is going to be that guy, that storyline is – really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And that to me is what this season is about, beyond the win-loss part of it.
Yeah.
I'm never going to say the win-loss part of it doesn't matter because it's pro sports and that's why you play.
Yeah.
But I just think you have to know heading into this that unless something really unforeseen happens, the win-loss part of it's probably not going to go very well for your team this year.
I mean, even on a day-to-day watching standpoint for me, like, I'm going into these games – probably expecting the Titans to lose, but I'm going in thinking, all right, let's see how Cam Ward looks against the NFL competition. Let's see how the receivers look and the defense looks. It's, you got to take it day to day, I think. And you, like you said, you got to go into this season with low expectations. It's a low bar. They're not going to be a very good team. Just going to tell you that. But You're right. The storyline is very important. It's actually franchise important. Like, it will make or break your franchise for the next 5 years. You just spent the number one pick.
Yeah.
You just spent the number one pick on a quarterback, and if he's a bust, then you are set back for a long time. It's just life in the NFL.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Billy to the program. Billy, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. They're not going to be a very good team. Good morning.
What's going on?
Yes, the Titans made two wrong decisions. They should have traded that number one pick and got two number one pick for next year and the year after, and then maybe they would have got the right quarterback. And the next best, second best option would have been to draft Shador Sanders. But instead, you got caught up in politics. Now you're going to run around. Shador could have brought all kind of money to the city because he was something exciting. People are tired of boring Titan. There's no money coming in with all the garbage players they get. Nobody know who's a star on the team. Shador would have been the star, and the fans would have loved it.
Shador was a fifth-round pick.
Hey, man, look at you. You sound just like that.
Was he a fifth-round pick or was he not?
Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Shador got caught up in too much hating.
Okay, but you're sitting there getting all over the Titans for not drafting him. Nobody drafted him until the fifth round.
Yeah, because there was too much hating on Deion Sanders. They can hate on Deion Sanders forever. It ain't going to never change nothing. Shador is a good quarterback. He was a number one quarterback.
Well, he may be. He may be. We'll wait. Look, I certainly.
There's a maybe to it. It is.
Oh, well, there's definitely a maybe to it. He's a fifth round draft pick and is the fourth quarterback on his roster right now. So there's a big maybe to it.
Battling an oblique injury.
In 1925 when it was 2025. They should have acted like it was 2025. That's where the Titans got caught up in.
Thank you for the call, Billy. I mean, I don't think the fifth-round pick that the Titans and every other team in the NFL passed on for five rounds. Look, we'll see. We'll see if Shador Sanders starts a game this year.
Yeah.
That's step number one.
I mean, let's take into account.
And then if he does, we'll see if he's any good.
Let's take into account Shador wasn't even the first quarterback his own team drafted. They drafted Dylan Gabriel over him. So,
look, Shador may be good. I have no idea. Like Shador, I like what I saw for him in the one preseason game we've seen from him. Again, it's a preseason game. Who cares? Let's let him start some games in the NFL. Same thing with Ward. Let's let him start some games in the NFL.
Yeah,
and then we'll see what it all looks like.
I mean,
but to act like it's just a foregone conclusion that Shador Sanders, who's quarterback four on his roster right now, is going to be some NFL superstar, is ludicrous.
I mean, let's compare apples to apples, right? Watch the game film for Cam Ward in college, especially at Miami. Then go watch the game film last year for Shador. In my mind, and in many of the minds, and obviously the mind of the Titans front office, Cam Ward's film is miles more impressive than Shador Sanders' film. And that's not the sole reason why you take that quarterback number one overall. But I feel like they're completely different prospects, and one was obviously taken number one overall, and the other one was taken, 177 overall or something like that in the fifth round? There's no comparison.
We also got to stop with the Tom Brady stuff. Like, yeah, Tom Brady was taken in the sixth round.
In the rarest hit of all time.
Yeah. We're a long way from Tom Brady.
Right guy in the right system with the right coach. I mean, maybe Shador will be all right.
Maybe.
He's not.
Look, Rexrode liked Shador the best in the draft. He liked him ahead of Cam Moore. So we'll see what it all looks like. But, I mean, he's quarterback four on his roster right now. So let's not act like, you know, the Titans are the only ones that were like, I don't know if Shador Sanders is going to be very good. We'll see. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Tennessee Volunteers have named a starting quarterback. What do we make of the decision? And what does it mean for expectations for the Vols this year? We'll get into that coming up next. Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis at 8. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. You can enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Calls have been a little all over the place today. A little bit all over the place today.
That was a fun one.
I mean, we'll continue to take them. 615-737-1025. The Tennessee Volunteers have named a starting quarterback. Joey Aguilar will be the starter for Tennessee. That is really of no surprise. I think he's been the favorite the whole time, but he was in the competition with Jake Merklinger and George McIntyre, and yesterday the Volunteers officially naming Joey Aguilar the starting quarterback. So they had a scrimmage on Friday, which was their second scrimmage of fall camp. Had the first scrimmage, I think, a week prior to that on that Saturday at Neyland. So I think clearly some separation that Joey Aguilar had in scrimmage number two, and he is now the starting quarterback. He brings experience to the table. I mean, Merklinger had barely played. McIntyre hadn't played at this point, and Aguilar is 24 years old and has played a lot of football to this point, albeit at a lower level, but has played a lot of football. So Aguilar, the starting quarterback. And now the storyline, Connor, that everybody's going to be paying attention to heading into the season of, well, how's Nico doing out there at UCLA versus how does Aguilar do with Tennessee in this very young and very inexperienced offense that they're stepping into against Syracuse here in a couple weeks.
That is kind of why I posed the question. Not that I fully disagree with the decision to start Joey Aguilar, but I kind of posed the question, I think it was to Jake Lyman a couple weeks ago, would it make more sense to start Jake Merklinger since he's been in the system, he knows what Josh Heupel expects, and not that he's a better player, but it's just kind of a culture-building thing. I think it was the right decision to start Aguilar based on I think he has more upside just for this offense. I think he can kind of fit the schemes that Heupel throws at the offense, but you're right, it's going to be apples to apples. People are going to be comparing Nico to Joey the whole season. It's especially both fan bases. But I do think it's the right decision. I think the young receivers are going to thrive under Joey Aguilar, and I think, you know, he can scramble outside of the pocket. You have a good offensive line, so you can get outside, and I think it was the right call to start him.
Well, we're going to see how much he turns football over. I mean, that's been a big problem for him at Appalachian State, and he had 14 interceptions last year. He had 10 the year before that. So we've talked about this before. I mean, go look at the quarterback numbers under Heupel, particularly under Heupel at Tennessee. They just don't turn the ball over. Now, I mean, Hendon Hooker was an extreme. I mean, it's not going to be that. Well, even Nico last year, he didn't turn the ball over all that much. I think he threw five picks last year. So it's not like there's a whole lot of interceptions that come in this offense. How much of that is the scheme? How much of that is the way the offense is designed? And how much of that is just the quarterback play that they've gotten? You know, Aguilar has turned the ball over a lot. So can that be mitigated in this offense? And then, you know, regardless of who the quarterback was, they got a lot to prove on that side of the ball. Like, you know, they've had some injuries that they dealt with in fall camp. Mike Matthews was down for a time. He's back out there now. Staley was down. He's back out there now. So they're getting healthier at receiver. But, you know, Staley's barely played. I think he got a couple snaps in the Ohio State game last year.
Yeah.
Matthews got in basically in mop-up duty most times last year and showed some flashes, but he's expected to be the guy now. You got Brazel, who's like your one guy coming back at receiver who's played some meaningful snaps for you.
But he was like wide receiver three, four last year.
Yeah, he's all right. Like, he made a huge catch in the Bama game, and that was it. Like, they didn't do a ton. So there's a lot of questions at receiver for this team. I've kind of tabbed Aguilar to be the guy the whole time, and we'll see how it goes. Like, from a talent standpoint, again, you're gonna look at their games. And my guess is Tennessee is going to be favored to win 9 games this year. They're going to be the favorite in 9 of their 12.
Mm-hmm.
So can they pull that off? Can they overperform that? Can you avoid losing to teams that you have no business losing to, like Arkansas last year? Like, it's going to be interesting to see
that team
how they handle part of this. But I'm really fascinated to see. Number one, can Aguilar take care of the ball? And number two, are they able to push the ball down the field with any level of success last year that it just felt like they never really got to last year in the offense?
Yeah. And I should rephrase my question. I do think the offensive line is kind of a question mark for the offense.
Well, they clearly feel really good about it.
Yeah.
Like, they it's I think it's very talented. It is inexperienced in spots. I mean, they got a five-star coming in that's going to play right tackle in David Sanders. You know, Lance Hurd did not have a good year for them last year at left tackle. Apparently, he has had a very good camp to this point. Mm-hmm. So, they've got some ability there. You know, those five guys coming together, staying healthy, all those things, what's that going to look like? But I think they feel good about what it can be. There's just not a whole lot of – like, you know, I'm thinking about significant contributors on offense. Deshaun Bishop at running back,
yeah,
played a lot last year behind Samson. He's there this year. He's going to play a lot. Peyton Lewis played some. But, like, other than that, like, there's not a whole lot of – I think the one room on offense that you feel really good about is tight end. They got Miles Kitzelman there. They got Ethan Davis there, who they really like. Like, they feel pretty good about where they're at tight end. And really, everything other than that is a pretty big question mark heading into this year.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the case for the entire program this season. Once the Nico situation went down, you didn't know how things were going to shake out. And, you know, you had a lot of receivers leave, and not much was done in the portal to equate for the loss of receivers. You got some offensive question marks, but as far as the quarterback situation, I think you made the right choice of the three. McIntyre is a true freshman. I would never start a true freshman unless he was just an absolute superstar. Merklinger, I think, has the most experience in that system, but I don't think he has the skills and abilities that Aguilar has.
And he probably won't be here a year from now, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I've said this before. Like, there's no way to me that in a year from now, Merklinger, McIntyre, and Faison Brandon are all going to be there.
Oh, like, I bet two of the three are gone.
There's, I mean, it's at least one, maybe two, could be gone. So, I mean, that's just that's the name of the game in today's college football. So, look, you know, just because Aguilar's starting doesn't mean that Merklinger is not going to play at some point this year. But I'm really interested to see. I mean, their schedule early. You got Syracuse, and Syracuse is not a juggernaut, right? Like, Syracuse is a decent team that Tennessee is more talented than. I mean, I think last time I looked, Tennessee's close to a 2-touchdown favorite in that game. So, like, they should beat Syracuse in a neutral site game. Georgia's week three, right? Like, they got Georgia early. And can Aguilar step into that offense and be ready to go and firing on all cylinders early enough in the schedule? We'll see.
Yeah. It'll be fun. I can't wait for college football, man.
Well, we get some Saturday.
Yeah, Farmageddon.
Week zero.
Farmageddon.
Yeah.
And then probably Hawaii playing someone at 11 o'clock at night.
Play. I think Hawaii does play. Yeah, it is Hawaii and Stanford, which you can check out on Saturday at 6:30 our time.
Wow, 6:30.
I know.
That's early.
Remember when Vanderbilt opened the season up over there? And I was like, wow, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You're playing football. Awesome.
Get us a weather delay out there. That'd be great.
That'd be real
nice.
That
was a couple of years ago. Mike Wright was the quarterback.
Yeah, and ran all over him in that game. But, yeah, Iowa State, Kansas State coming up. Going to be good stuff on Saturday as week zero begins. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
102.5 The Game. You come for sports takes, you stay for gout updates.
We got Bible study at 3:30 during the snack period.
I'm tired of you guys asking me this. Like, this is ridiculous.
That's a good call on their part or a bad call on our part, either way you want to look at it. But
this dude is an idiot.
You can act like a man!
Who going to Bible study? Who going to Bible study?
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program.
With your favorite song coming back.
Yeah, I know. Caleb Williams put together a drive yesterday and City of Chicago thinks that they might as well. I don't know why we're playing the season.
Give them trophy right now.
This is what they do. Off season, preseason, just unstoppable.
All to win six games.
Then real football comes around. And you're like, oh, wow.
They're not that good, huh?
Get eliminated from the playoffs in October, huh? How about that? It's amazing how that works. So there's a couple of different ways I could have gone today. I'll just go with this because it's a very popular theme on our text line today. So we'll discuss it. A lot of thoughts on Cam Ward today. We've gotten several different versions of this, so I'll just combine them all kind of into one. We've talked, you know, somebody texted in earlier about, like, I don't see anything generational from Cam Ward. And it's like, well, he's played five preseason series, guys. Like, you know, people have called in, and, you know, we're joking on the text line about, you know, people calling in asking about what quarterback the Titans are taking at number one overall next year. Like, can we not wait for, like, two regular season games to be played before we start talking about some of this? Like,
yeah.
I first off, as far as the generational stuff, like, yes. So I understand when they were holding their pre-draft press conference. I can't remember if it was Borgonzi or Brinker. I think it was Brinker.
Yeah.
That got up there and started talking about, like, you know, number one overall pick, we're taking somebody that's generational. It's like, okay, that's fine. The fact is, there's not a generational guy in every draft. You know, some people thought maybe, you know, Abdul Carter is that. Maybe he is. We'll see what happens on that front. But there's not a generational player in every single draft. There's certainly not a generational quarterback in every single draft. I have no idea if Cam Ward is that or not. Clearly, the Titans believe that he is, if not generational, a high-level franchise quarterback. I would also keep in mind that we've considered a few people generational over the last few years. Trevor Lawrence was kind of viewed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't worked out so hot. Caleb Williams was viewed that way. We'll see. He was an okay first year for Caleb Williams. We'll see. Maybe he's great this year with Ben Johnson coming in. I mean, there have been guys that we've looked at before and touted them as quote-unquote generational players that have not played all that well by the time real football comes around. You know, Cam Ward is not a generational prospect. There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, we talked about that in the draft process. But, like, the prospect part of it to me is that's over with now. Like, that's great draft talk. And, you know, going back and looking at guys like Peyton Manning, who you felt like heading into the NFL, there's pretty darn high success rate that he was going to have. And then he lived up to it. Like, it's cool when you get those stories. I mean, go look at the best quarterbacks in the league. Did people think Mahomes was generational? No. Did people consider Lamar Jackson to be generational? Well, he got drafted 32nd overall. No.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. Did people think Josh Allen was generational? No. Well, they're you know, three of your four best quarterbacks in the league right there.
Yeah.
So let's just chill a little bit on the generational stuff, and let's go watch the kid play.
Yeah.
Like, the kid has got some good tools, some good physical tools, I think some good mental makeup to his game. Let's go watch it. And we don't have to have a determination at 7 o'clock on the first Sunday after they play Denver, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a long process with Cam Ward, hopefully. Like, to me, it needs to be a long process. Like, there's not very much he can do this year within the scope of reality for me to walk away at the end of year one and be like, that guy is an elite quarterback. You know how hard that is to do in 1 year in the NFL? Like,
I mean,
even Jaden Daniels last year. Like, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, but he's
I don't know. Let's go watch him do it again this year.
Yeah.
Like, part of being an elite quarterback is doing it every year, right? Like, bringing it to the table every year. So I think sometimes we get caught up so much in this generational stuff of, like, well, unless he is Peyton Manning as a prospect, there's no way you could take him number one overall. And we talked about that a lot in the draft process. I don't want to get back into that. But can we not watch the kid play football a little bit before we start throwing some of this stuff around?
Yeah, I mean, even
the text line and the call has been a little bit weird today.
I mean,
to be honest with you.
Even beyond just Cam Ward as a generational prospect, I think the term generational is used too loosely today. Like, if I think about it right now, off the top of my head, I'd have to do some deep diving on this, but off the top of my head in college football right now, I can only think of one truly generational prospect, and that's Jeremiah Smith, the wide receiver out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, you have some fringe guys, like you could maybe throw Lenoris Sellers or DJ Lagway or maybe
we'll see.
Arch Manning. We'll see. I got to see him do it. But right now, that's the only guy I can think of, and a lot of these quote-unquote generational prospects, like you said, come into the NFL and aren't that, like Trevor Lawrence or who else is there? I mean, Baker Mayfield was viewed as a generational quarterback talent, and has he lived up to that? I mean, he's certainly found a home in Tampa Bay, and I think he's going to be their quarterback there for a long time, but I mean, he was on three teams before he landed there in the span of a year. So, yeah, I think the term generational is very, very loosely used, and I think we got to reel some of that back in, right? Like, it's kind of ridiculous the people we deem as generational who actually turn out to not be that.
Well, I think it just shows you how hard it is to nail this down. Like, there's so much that goes into whether or not a quarterback is successful in the NFL. And, yeah, most of it's on them, right? Like, mm-hmm. you have to have a certain set of physical tools and a certain set of mental makeup. Like, you got to have all those things. So we get that. But a lot of it is about, you know, what situation are you in? Who's your coach? What's the rest of your roster look like? Do you have any sort of chance, any prayer when you drop back to pass that you're not going to be immediately implanted into the dirt? Like, there's a lot of things that go into this. So, like, look, you know, Trevor Lawrence, if you would have told me when Trevor Lawrence got drafted that it was as average to below average at times that it's been with him to this point in his career, I would have said you were nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
that guy won a national championship.
Well, yeah,
as a
like
freshman.
When he came at, like, everything you want, like from the physical makeup of him, the ability to make every throw on the field, the approach heading, like, there's so much to like about him as a prospect. And then you watch him play in the NFL and you're like, yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
You know, he's fine. I would not put him anywhere close to a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Oh, yeah.
So it just goes to show you how inexact of a science it is, which is why it's the toughest thing to find in pro sports and why people get fired left and right all the time in the NFL for screwing it up. Like, that's what it is in the NFL. Like, it's a really difficult thing to find. So, like, to sit here and act like I know whether or not Cam Ward is going to be a franchise quarterback, or that you know whether or not Cam Ward is going to be a franchise quarterback. The Titans don't know. Nobody knows. Let's just go watch the kid play. Let's do that.
Yeah. I mean,
before we come up with all these declarations.
There are guys we think we know. Like, when Joe Burrow came into the Bengals, we had a pretty good idea he was going to be their franchise quarterback for a long time, but there's still some doubt. So there's obviously more so with Cam Ward just because we don't really know what he is yet. But I think you're right. Let's can the term generational for Cam Ward for a little bit until we see what he actually does.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I'll tell you somebody who is generational. Corey Curtis from News 2. And he's going to be with us coming up next. He was on the sideline Friday night for the preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get his takeaways from that, his thoughts on Cam Ward and more. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.